Ryan Blaney wins at New Hampshire Motor Speedway and is rewarded with the giant lobster. Meanwhile, Joe Gibbs' teammates, Denny Hamlin and Ty Gibbs, go at it on the track, and Scott Cooper from Charlotte Motor Speedway drops in to preview the Roval. All of that's coming up on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Glad to have you aboard for this week's edition of Fast Talk. There are people who go through life with the philosophy of dessert is so great, let's go ahead and eat it first. We are not going to do that on this show. We are not going to talk about Denny Hamlin and Ty Gibbs just yet.
Please.
No, can't have your dessert yet. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Well, that's a great way to put it. But I love dessert.
Me too.
Have you ever done that?
1,000%.
So listen. We were on the charity ride last year, and we had banquet food everywhere you went. So you got a dessert table over there.
Yeah.
So Overton and Cotton and Devant, about the third night, they realized the dessert table was always open. So they would go in, and as the line went to the left to the main food, they would go to the right, and they would take a plate with cakes and pies and anything else, and they would walk across the room saying, "We're not eating healthy. We're not eating." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm with them. I'm with them.
I like that. I like that. Empty calories." So before we dive into racing, number one dessert, favorite dessert,
creme brulee.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, right. Because I don't like things that are super, super sweet. And creme brulee, it's sweet, especially the top, you know, that's caramelized. But underneath, the pudding is slightly sweet, which is my kind of thing.
Kyle?
Nanner pudding.
Nanner pudding.
Yeah. That's also high on my list.
Good old Nanner pudding, man. But it's got to be the real stuff, not the Jell-O base, not all that. You got to make the custard. You got to do the stuff. I mean, the Nilla wafers have to be just... And see, it can be Nanner pudding because it's Nilla wafers. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not... So you got all that.
The next time that my wife Penny makes it, I'll bring some in.
Because
it is very good.
It's the good stuff.
People stand in line around the block to get that.
That's good.
Carrot cake.
Yeah, that's good.
I do like carrot cake.
Oh, love me some carrot cake with a cup of coffee.
And it has to be cream cheese frosting.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're getting in depth.
I know.
Okay, now.
Welcome to Cooking with Doug.
We have had our dessert already, but we're gonna hold off talking about the Denny Hamlin, Ty Gibbs dust up thing. Ryan Blaney comes on. He holds off a hard charging Josh Berry at the end to claim his third win of the season, and obviously he moves on to the round of eight. Kyle, how do you think Josh Berry felt after bouncing back from three straight races where he finished last to actually be in contention with 50 laps to go to win at New Hampshire?
So for me, that's cup racing. That's what racing is all about. You can go and go and beat your head against the wall and beat your head against the wall and have nothing to show for it. And then you show up and you're one of the best that day. And you've got a shot at it. And, you know, with the way the strategy played out and everything, for him to come back and even challenge Blaney there at the end for a few laps, man, he was making a race out of it. And it was good stuff. They've got to be riding high. They got to think what could have been. And not what is, but what could have been.
I attended the Panthers-Falcons football game. Actually, it was the Panthers game because the Falcons didn't show up. No. When I first turned the race on my phone to watch a little bit, Alexis, all I saw was the 21 car pointed in the wrong direction. And I thought, well,
here it goes again.
And by the time I got home and watched the last third of the race, Josh Berry was a player.
Yeah, it was a comeback story for sure. Because, I mean, you're right. I saw that same spin in, you know, the 3 weeks prior.
Yes.
They would have incidents. Now, granted, those incidents were ones that took them out immediately. Yeah. And they didn't have the opportunity to come back. But yesterday, they were able to race their way back up. And I think, unfortunately for him, because of that spin, even though he worked his way all the way back up, he was in a tire deficit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So when everybody else came in for tires, he couldn't come in for tires. And I think that was the difference. Because I really do think if he was on even tires with Ryan Blaney at that final restart, then it probably would have worked out maybe a little bit differently.
Ryan Blaney had a good day, though, taking nothing away from him. He led 116 laps and says it was a team win.
These guys just continue to refine their craft and become closer bonded and trust each other, you know, that you have 100% trust already, but it just builds with time, you know. So it's fun to go to work with these guys every week and just have a good time with it and understand when you're in the trenches, like you're in it together, and lift each other up when things aren't going good and support each other. And when things are going great, you know, you're having a fun time.
It's easy to hop on the hype train, but Kyle and Alexis, I'm starting to feel like maybe Ryan Blaney might be a little bit of the favorite right now. Not just because he won there, but his body of work in the playoffs has been solid.
Yeah, and you want to jump on that train because it's the playoffs, and he's won before, and he's a Penske driver, and that's what Ford and Penske's do. Penske drivers do once you get to the playoffs. So you want to lean that way a little bit. Again, you know, and I said it here last week, the Gibbs Racing team wins the first three with three different drivers. So there's the organization is the clear favorite, but there is no clear favorite driver. And even with Blaney here doing this, you look right behind that and you see, that there's William Byron knocking on the door. There's other championship contenders knocking on the door. I'm not quite ready to put everything in this basket, I guess. But I could be chasing after that train. I'm not on it yet, but I could be chasing after it.
Look, I think because of this win, I can see a clear path, a pretty clear path for him to make it to Phoenix. And when you think about how this short, flat track could potentially translate to more short, flat track success, I don't know how you couldn't look at Ryan right now and say, okay, well, he doesn't have to worry about Kansas. He doesn't have to worry about the Rova. We know how good he is at Martinsville because he's proven that before. I think if you didn't have him in your Final Four, you better have him in your Final Four now.
I'm looking at his recent body of work, the last five races. He won at Daytona. Darlington was a little bit of a slip up. He finished 18th there. Fourth at Gateway, fourth at Bristol, and now you win at Loudoun.
Yeah.
The cumulative recent work is impressive.
Yeah, and listen, if we go back to the first of the year, and I want to go back to for him, their work was impressive the first of the year. They just didn't have anything to show for it. They were breaking motors and having bad luck and things, but they had speed. So they had speed at the first of the year, and they've carried that speed all year long. And I said it here last week too. I look at Joey, and they haven't had speed. Now they had speed this week. Speed showed up this week with he and Cindric, and it showed up with Josh Berry, the other Penske car. But the speed thing Blaney has had all year.
Alexis, do we need to start paying attention to Joey Logano? I think this is the third race in a row that Joey has finished in the top five. He had two fifth-place finishes in the last two races, and then he finished fourth at New Hampshire.
Joey is a three-time champion. I think you always have to pay attention to Joey Logano.
Did I just get schooled?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you cannot sleep on that guy. His preparation is second to none, and I just think that he turns it on when it counts the most, and that's in the playoffs. And if you think that, you know, he's going to go out and not perform to that same level for the next, you know, however many weeks until we get to Phoenix, then you're kidding yourself.
My Uncle Marsh used to have a saying with the race stuff is when you get them down and you got your foot on their throat, don't let them up, because if you let them up, they'll come back and bite you. And that's the way Joey is.
Yeah.
He, all year long, everybody's talked about, including myself, everybody's talked about they don't have speed, they're not in it, they're missing it this year. And all of a sudden, somebody let him up, and he's up right now. And you look at it, and he's going to come back and bite somebody. He may be that guy that knocks out that potential guy to go to Phoenix.
I think that was the same narrative last year.
Yeah, it always is.
Know, all the way up
True.
Until.
Great point.
You know?
Alexis, you and I were sitting right here at this desk last year after the Roval.
Yep.
When the word came down that Alex Bowman had been DQ'd and that Joey Logano was going to get that spot. And we looked and we said, that's bad news for everybody.
Everybody.
You just knew it.
Yes. Yes. Because exactly. That's who he is. That's how he, that's how he fights. And if you give him the opportunity, which that was the small little thing that he needed to have the opportunity, you're going to have to make your way through him because he's going to be good.
I can see us meeting here next week doing this show again, talking about Joey Logano winning at Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's his type of racetrack. Yeah. For sure.
I just think that's going to be the case.
I heard a stat. I think it was Jeff Gluck who I heard mention it, that we haven't raced on a true mile and a half oval since the Coke 600. That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, remember
when you think about it.
Remember when it was every week?
Yes. Yeah.
Every week it seemed like we were somewhere.
And everybody was talking about all the cookie cutter racetracks.
That's right.
Heard him say that and I was like, wait a second. And I'm like trying to go through
that's
in my mind. And I'm like, he's right. This is the end. We're getting ready to be in the end of September. That was the end of May. That's quite a stretch.
By the way, just random thing here. You mentioned Jeff Gluck. I've been watching and listening to he and Jordan Bianchi's Teardown podcast. Yeah. That's some really good stuff on there.
Because really interesting.
They're not filtered.
Yeah.
They don't have to go through a track filter or a NASCAR filter. They're not getting on there bashing, but I find it really good commentary.
Yeah, it's thoughtful commentary because it makes you think about their point of view and where they're coming from. Because I don't always agree with things Jeff says or what Jordan says, but they make me look at the sport through a different set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm real bad about just looking at it the same way all the time because this is all I ever knew. But to see it through their eyes and look at some of these things different, it's like, yeah, okay, I can see how a fan thinks.
They're thought provokers.
Yes,
you need that.
Yes,
no,
they are.
That,
no, there's not enough of those. Let's give you the Toyota performance report from New Hampshire. After stinging everybody in the first three playoff races, they came back down to earth. Christopher Bell was the top finishing Toyota. He came home in sixth. 10th belonged to Chase Briscoe. Denny Hamlin wound up 12th. Tyler Reddick was back in 21st. 22nd was Riley Herbst. Bubba Wallace had a disastrous day. He was 26th. We'll talk about that. And Eric Jones, when John Hunter Nemechek and Ty Gibbs were way back in the pack. Coming up, we'll break down the get down that happened between Denny Hamlin and Ty Gibbs, and we'll take a look at the NASCAR playoff points.
This is a Camry. This is a Camry on NASCAR. This is a Camry on NASCAR with Ty Gibbs behind the wheel. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, ZMAX, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's ZMAX Micro Lubricant.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities, our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
NASCAR is now four races deep into their playoff season with six remaining, and we're starting to separate out some of the pretenders from the contenders. In this little segment here, I really want to concentrate on the four drivers that are below the cut line as far as the points are concerned. Ross Chastain, right now he's minus 12. Austin Cindric is in 10th. 11th is Tyler Reddick. And Alexis, the big surprise to me, and I felt like this might be the year he made a run for the round of eight, is Bubba Wallace. And Bubba Wallace is minus 27th and 12th. That's not insurmountable, but and they've dug themselves a hole.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you think about where he came into this round at, wasn't it? He was in like fourth. You know, and you thought, oh wow, that's the highest I think I remember, you know, Bubba ever being. And so, yeah, you certainly did not expect for them to, number one, being a Toyota, and the way that the Toyotas had gone the first three races, it looked like it was going to be all Toyota all the time. You did not expect him to have a race like he had yesterday where they were just kind of out to lunch. And you know, to see how far down he is, I think that, I don't want to say it's a must-win situation, but you're going to need some other people to have.
Say it.
I mean, it's not. I mean, when you think mathematically, and I've never been good at math, just ask my mom, and all the math tests that came back with not good grades on them. But mathematically, it's not a must-win. But when you think about it from a realistic standpoint, it kind of feels that way.
Yeah, and we were talking about before. I look at this round a little bit different because everybody in America has given SVG the Roval win already.
Sure.
So if you believe that, if you do believe that and you buy into that theory, then this becomes a points round where you've got to score points because one win is already taken away by a non-championship driver. So that puts where Tyler Reddick and where Bubba Wallace is in a more precarious position because you've got to make up those points really quick. And I just don't think, but I have another theory here. And this is the crazy Kyle Petty theory here. Okay.
We love crazy Kyle Petty theories.
Because I've seen it happen. And they overcome it. Some teams overcome it. Some teams never do. But we look at Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez. Man, they were setting the world on fire with a two-car team. They add that third car. What happens? They get flat. We look at Bubba and Tyler. They're setting the world on fire with a two-car team. They add that third car. What happens? They go flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when you... It's just a crazy number. I don't know how to say that. We at Petty Enterprises never set the world on fire with two car teams, but when we went to three, oh my God, we were terrible.
We were worse.
It was that third thing you just couldn't wrap your arms around. Once you got to four, it was better because then you would have two teams working together and two teams working together over here. But that third kid running around the room causing chaos didn't fix anything. And I just think these guys are in a really, really, I think they're all in a must win. I'm just going to say that. I think everybody below the line is just in a must win. I just don't see them moving ahead to the group in front of them.
Well, looking at 23-11 racing right now, Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, 11th and 12th. And Alexis, I don't feel like outside of the Brickyard that they've done much this year. I mean, that's the only race win they have. Tyler Reddick, for all the hype that has surrounded him, has not struck a lick at a snake this year.
Yeah, and I feel like Bubba has outperformed
Tyler.
Yeah, when you talk about just sheer consistency, you're right. They have that one win, and that was a great win for Bubba and obviously propelled him into the playoffs. But you're right. I mean, and I think, you know, another thing can be looked at too, like the third car could potentially be it, and it could also be because they're not the lead Toyota team. When you think about who's doing well in the Cup Series, you look at the lead teams. You look at Joe Gibbs Racing, the lead Toyota team. You look at Penske, the lead Ford team. You look at Hendrick, the lead Chevy team. And none of the other teams are doing as well.
Yeah. And I'll speak to Bubba here for 1 minute. Bubba just kind of was, he was there. And then he wins at Indy. And we all know that Bubba wears his emotions on his sleeve. He is a very emotional guy. That Indy win propelled him to what he did in this first round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He had some solid runs, man. He was up front. He was doing stuff. And I asked you when we came in, I didn't get to see his post-race, but I said, how was he? And you said dejected. That's a bad sign.
Yes.
If he's come from the highest highs to now he's dejected in one race, that's a bad sign for him emotionally and where he's at. So it's going to be interesting to see how he recovers from this one bad race.
They have to have a great race at Kansas,
which
is a place that he's won in the past. But I think as time goes by, that means less and less.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they haven't done as well there lately.
No.
I mean, if you think about it, they haven't gone there. So, I mean, obviously, you know, 2311 had success there with Kurt Busch winning
for sure.
and all of that. But I don't know if they've had that same success as of late.
The Chases right now. Chase Briscoe is eighth. Chase Elliott is seventh. They're both above the cut line, not by a lot. Should we be worried about either one of the Chases not advancing? Kyle. And then I'll
to the next round.
Yeah.
To the next round. I'm more worried about Chase Elliott than I am Chase Briscoe. I will say that because I think Chase Briscoe put together really good races in the first round. And he started this round with a 10th place. So he started with top 10s. And if you look at that, I'm not really concerned about that. I think he started in a different place, obviously, and with the reset of points, that's but Elliott just continues to confound me on where they are and what they're doing.
They looked a little bit racy at times in New Hampshire. Came home with a decent finish. So, Alexis?
They didn't get many stage points,
no.
though.
Yeah.
And I think that unfortunately hurts them. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I feel like Briscoe is in a better position. Because, you look, he finished 10th in New Hampshire, and that seems like an off day. You know what I mean? For what he's been doing lately. I think if any of the Chases are going to fall out, I believe it would be Chase Elliott over Chase Briscoe.
I don't know. I just had the feeling right now that the four that are below the cut line are going to be the ones that don't advance.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're below the cut line.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of those, barring something miraculous, are going to advance. What happens when teammates tangle? We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Welcome back to the show. Doug Rice along with Kyle Petty and Alexis Erickson. Scott Cooper from Charlotte Motor Speedway drops by to chat about the Roval here in a few minutes. But right now we'll go back in time and break down what went on at New Hampshire Motor Speedway between Denny Hamlin and his Joe Gibbs teammate Ty Gibbs. Let's reset the scene. It's fairly early in the race. They're back in the pack. They're racing for position, not for the lead. And after a while, Denny gets tired of Ty Gibbs holding him up on the racetrack and simply punts him and puts him into the wall and sends him out of the race. Ty Gibbs goes on and finishes next to last. Denny, I think, rallied for 12th. Problems, Kyle. You're wrecking the boss's grandson, even though he's not a playoff contender.
Yeah. Honey Badger don't care. You know what I mean? Denny, he don't care. You know, I heard somebody say, well, you know, he's going to be the boss someday. He may be the boss, but Denny's not going to be driving there when he's the boss. Okay. Let's be honest about that. I think, and watching what went on the racetrack, watching the final results, I'm going to say this. Both parties are wrong. Both parties are wrong. You've got, once they ran down the 54 car of Ty Gibbs and got up under him and raced him and raced him and raced him, and then they raced him some more and they raced him some more, someone of a higher authority should have said, just let him go, Ty. You're holding him up. Because he was holding him up at that time. The frustration that Ty feels by dominating the Xfinity Series and being an also-ran in the Cup Series, because he's just taking up space. He's taking up a ride that people used to win in that car,
right?
And he's not winning in it. And I'm sorry, I don't care if he is. Listen, I was Kyle Petty driving for Richard Petty. He was winning races. I was taking up space. I've been in that position. I know what it feels like to be in that. But he's just taking up space. And Denny and Christopher Bale right behind him, they need stage points. They need to get to the front. They've got something there. And I'm not saying you race different because it is playoff contenders versus the boss's son or whatever it may be. But cooler heads have to prevail at some point in time. And Denny just got frustrated and said, I'm not playing with you anymore and I'm taking you out. See you later.
Well, the thing too, and you're right, both parties were wrong. The thing that some people have not mentioned is the fact that when Denny did that, it came extremely close to taking out Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Extremely close. So, yes, I understand Denny showing his frustration and everything there, but he almost upset somebody else's playoffs, just like he was upset that Ty was upsetting his playoffs. So, unfortunately, you know, two wrongs don't make a right kind of thing.
Let's give a little listen to what Denny Hamlin was saying in the cockpit of his car.
What is he doing? Are they afraid to talk to him? That's what I feel like. They're just scared of him. I don't know the answer to that right now. I'm just focused on trying to get the 11 the best finish. We'll talk about it after, I promise.
Are they afraid to talk to him?
And listen, I understand that from Denny. I do understand that, because what Denny's saying is that is Ty on such a pedestal that everybody's afraid to tell him that the Emperor has no clothes, okay? Because that's what you need to tell him. You need to tell him, learn to drive a race car, and then maybe you'll win some races. Because he is a phenomenal talent. He does have that talent. He just doesn't put it in the right places at the right time. That's the problem, and I'm going to get on a tangent here. That's the problem with a superior car in the Xfinity Series. When you go out and kick butt week in and week out, you still don't know how to race. You didn't learn how to race outrunning everybody. You don't know how to race when you dominate a series. You have to learn how to race. And Ty, I believe, in a lot of ways, is still learning how to race. And Denny gave him a lesson yesterday. I'm not saying it was the right lesson, but Denny taught him a lesson yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and he's in his third year, you know, 100-plus races. You would think, and I'm sure Denny would think, that at this point he should know those, you know, those etiquette things that they talk about so much in the garage, driver etiquette, all these things that they talk about is out the window and all this. But then also you have, okay, well, does Ty understand that he would be doing that not for Denny, but for the organization?
And I'll go ahead and say it. If he's racing for any other team with the results he's had, he doesn't keep that ride.
No, this is his last year. If he's run 3 years and hadn't done any more.
Yeah.
But especially, and let me say this again, especially coming off of his Xfinity record.
Right.
Yes.
Because you are looking at a blue chip player that you thought was going to carry your organization forward, and he's not taking your organization forward. You've hired Chase Briscoe, who's come in and won races right off the bat. You've hired Christopher Bale, who came out of that same thing where he dominated in the Xfinity Series, but he's stepped up in the Cup Series and is winning races. Denny Hamlin started here and is your mainstay. He's your horse that's winning races. So if not for who he is, and listen, I was there too, so I'm not throwing stones in a glass house. If not for who I was, I wouldn't have kept a ride as many years early on as I did. But if not for who he was, in this day and time, he wouldn't be there.
Look, we talk about his record in the Xfinity Series. He won obviously, quite a bit in the Xfinity series. But he also had a record of not racing his teammates very well and knocking them out of the way when it suited him.
Well, he kept his teammate from advancing in the playoffs at Martinsville.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So when you think about who he is, maybe that's just who he is. Yeah. I don't
think that's what you get.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, he despises the media.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to him off mic and goes, I don't like having microphones in my face. And I want it to, that's part of the,
yeah,
it's part of the plan
part
here.
Of the job.
It goes to the territory. You get the big check. You have to occasionally answer the questions. We'll see. We'll see if he matures and grows in. Denny, on the other hand, shouldn't have punted him.
No,
you wait five laps, you pass him, and get the spot. You weren't racing for the win, and you weren't even a third of the way into the race.
And here's the thing. This is the thing that always bothers me. And everybody kept saying, well, the bump and run at Bristol, the bump and run. Listen, there's a difference in a bump and run and what we saw there. It is the worst thing on a track like this is to get into somebody getting into the corner. If you want to bump them a little bit in the middle, if you want to bump them a little bit coming off where they have that opportunity, but you're already in over your head, you're already in loose, you're already just on top of the car, just the slightest little bit takes you out. So that was not the proper place or the right place to send that message. If he had waited another 15 or 20 feet, yeah, I would have been more in line with what Denny did.
But if he'd have waited a few more laps, he'd have passed him.
Yes.
It's one spot on the racetrack. Both of them are at fault.
Yes, that's what I say. Both parties are wrong in this case.
Their situational awareness was terrible. Scott Cooper, PR magnate from Charlotte Motor Speedway, comes in to talk about the Roval next here on Fast Talk. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Here on Fast Talk, we're playing a little musical host. We have gained Scott Cooper. Scott is the head of public relations for Speedway Motorsports and has been the longtime head of PR here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And I'm also a guy that I'm glad to have called my friend for the last 25 plus years or so. Scott, good to have you here. I know we're going to get and talk about the Roval, which is coming up in less than 2 weeks, right here at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
It's hard to believe it's right around the corner.
Wow.
Like that. And you know what, though? But our sport's got so much momentum heading into this round of the playoffs. You know, we had a sellout crowd at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this past weekend. Yeah. great to see the racing. That was fantastic. But I always get so jacked up about this Roval race because you never know what to expect in this race. It's only been around for 7 years, but we've had so many memorable moments in this race. It's just, it's just something special. And I was thinking about it this morning driving in. You know, the Toyotas just dominated the first round of the playoffs. You know, there was nothing but Fords, you know, running strong up at New Hampshire. But when you look at the Roval, if we've got a lot of Chevy fans out there, this is the time for them to start to get a little excited. So far out of 7 races, 5 winners have been driving Chevys. So a little something different maybe.
I am fascinated that you just said that the Roval has been around for 7 years, because to me, it still feels fresh. It still feels new. It still feels like it's right there. It's cutting edge. And no matter how many road courses we talk about, the Roval seems to stand to the side of that as its own entity, as its own special thing. Is it because of, I know it's because of what you do, because that's what PR is all about. So let me go ahead and say that. But no, but at the same time, you've made some changes to the racetracks at different times, but it just seems to play out that it's right here in front of us as a road course and we can see it. How do you guys continue to enhance that piece of it?
Well, I think it's a lot of that is just driven by Marcus and a lot of great feedback from fans and watching the races and kind of seeing what's what. You know, last year, you know, we made the big change with the hairpin turn there at turn 7. But a lot of drivers have given us a lot of feedback about this course. You know, when we first developed the course and Mario Andretti came in and took some laps around the course and what we were planning to do. And he was one of the first people that said, you know, you need to add another chicane on the backstretch because they're not going to be able to help themselves. You know, we've got to slow them down coming down the backstretch before they get around to the front stretch again. So, you know, being able to look at the track every year and kind of get that feedback and kind of see what's what. But, you know, the racing has really been great. And to have as many different winners and as many different ways as they've run has been super. I will never forget Doug's call on the very first race when we had the great ending there with Truex and Jimmy getting into it. And then, Blaney kind of stole it. And you know, we've just had memorable moments ever since.
Two big moments in that race. One was that finish. And that was the last time Jimmy Johnson was in contention to win a race, by the way.
Wow.
In his entire career, he never really came close to winning another race after losing that one. And then the year that Chase Elliott dove into turn one, firewall deep into the barrier, backed up the car, came back out past everybody, and drove away from the crowd.
Completely drove through the field.
Yeah.
And then had what, in my opinion, was the coolest burnout ever in the history of burnouts. When he took that car right back into turn one and got up on the side of it, like it was just fantastic. So for all those Elliott fans, I know that's a memorable moment. You know, he's a two-time winner of the Roval. Kyle Larson is a two-time winner. You know, AJ Allmendinger kind of, you know, messed up the whole playoff field a couple of years ago when he won the race. So it's just one of those events that you never know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. And I wanted to go to the playoffs because one of my most memorable moments is the Kyle Larson banging up, just getting it back around into the wall to get to the next round because it was a cutoff race and that was all about points. And it was, they had a rotten day. That's how important this race is. And you mentioned AJ Allmendinger. Have you already put SVG's name on the trophy for over here? Because that seems to be what the world keeps saying.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, what I really like about that is that when the playoffs started, everybody was talking about SVG at the Roval. Hey, if he can just make it to that round, what's he going to do? Well, he didn't. And, you know, for him to be now coming into this and being in that round, is he going to be AJ all over again for everybody else and suddenly keep somebody from locking in a slot to move on to the next
round?
It does
change the dynamic because we spent a lot of time on this show and every show I've been on saying all he's got to do is finish 20th in the first 3 races and he'll get. And it was a disaster from the get-go. Yeah. No good finishes, nowhere near making the playoffs, which is kind of a bummer because everybody was thinking, wow, if he gets here and he's in, then he probably goes to the round of eight. What kind of cool stuff have you got going on besides the actual races here at the Speedway?
Oh, man, there's, you know, that's one of the things about Charlotte, and I'll kind of give a nod to our former president, general manager, Humpy Wheeler, bless his heart.
Yep.
His favorite quote to me was always, you know, it's our job to put a little technicolor in everybody's black and white lives. And I will never forget that. So adding more to the entertainment value for a fan was all about Bruton and all about Humpy. And we're definitely going to do that for the Charlotte Roval weekend. It really all starts on Friday. You know, we've got the trucks this time right. in the playoffs yeah. for the first time ever at the Roval.
Wow.
We're going to run a Friday afternoon truck race. We're going to follow that with a JGR Fan Fest out in our fan zone. So all the Joe Gibbs Racing drivers will be.
Are you going to have Ty and Denny sitting next to each other?
Yes. Ty and Denny will be out there together.
Wait a minute. In the mode of Humpy Wheeler, why don't we bring a boxing
there
ring back?
There you go.
Let's bring
there
the boxing ring back.
all of those guys will be making appearances. Fans can come out early that morning starting at 9 a.m. and pick up a wristband in order to get an autograph later in the day. But then after JGR, which is going to follow the truck race, then we're going to have a hauler parade that's going to come right through the fan zone.
Wow.
We're working on a couple of special surprises with some vehicles to be in the hauler parade that I think fans are going to really appreciate. And then we're going to wrap it all up with our buddy Tim Duggar is going to do a concert in the fan zone that Friday night. So we're going to really roll into the weekend in a big way. You know, we've got the Xfinity Series race. Blue Cross Blue Shield 250 is going to be on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have IMSA running and Mustang Challenge on Saturday. And, of course, we'll have Cup qualifying. And then on Sunday, we'll have a pre-race concert by a country music artist, two-time Grammy-nominated named Ernest. He put on a great show for us at the beginning of the year down in COTA. So we've got a ton for fans to come out and enjoy on their
It was a great show at COTA.
Roval Weekend. It was a great show
at COTA. Yeah. Yes.
And I know there are people that's – I'm not sure that – come and give it a shot. I like the fact that there's something going on at some point on the track every lap.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting into somebody. Somebody's getting pushed off in the dirt. It never just settles into – lap after lap of grinding it out. At least it doesn't feel that way.
No, it doesn't. That's why I said when he said that they've been here 7 years, it still feels fresh. It still feels new. And every lap's that way because it always surprises me I've been coming here my whole life. I had no idea there was hills in the infield of Charlotte Motor Speedway until they put the Roval in. You know what I mean? And then you run uphill. It's downhill. It's off camber and stuff. From a fan's perspective, when is there anything that when they come to the racetrack that you say, okay, this is what you've, besides the racing, because y'all got so much, that's always what Charlotte was to everybody. Buy a ticket and get so much more.
Yeah.
That's it. Buy a ticket and get so much more. What do you see as your key events for fans to come out? You talked about the JGR. If you don't come for anything else besides the cup race, because that's come for the cup race. Stay for everything else.
Yeah.
What is your big event?
I think you've got to get here on Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think you got to get here on Friday. And it's such a stimulus to get people to Charlotte in that, you know, everything about the sport is here. You know, this is the Mecca. This is the Mecca of motorsports for people to come in, go visit the shops, go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and then get out to the track on Friday. Take advantage of all that stuff we just talked about. It's going to be happening in the fan zone. And a truck race that has never run on the Roval before. We don't know what's going to happen in that race. And personally, I love to see how great Corey Heim has been this year. But, you know, Lane Riggs has got he's a UNC Charlotte student from right down the road. Right. He's got some sponsorship tied into them. You know that team's really going to try to bring it on the Charlotte race.
So everybody it's just going it to be Charlotte.
Fun.
It's that home field thing. Everybody's a home field.
It
really
is special. And I've told people this all my life. The teams actually get to come here because nowadays the teams don't travel. Yeah. You've got the people that go over the wall and service the car, but they can actually come out here and watch their car race because they all live 15 miles from this place.
Listen, the thing about winning, when I drove for Felix, the thing about winning at Charlotte and running good here is and whether it's May or whether it's the Roval, is you have bragging rights in every restaurant you go out to all year long. You know what I mean? I'm with Hendrick. We won. I'm with Gibbs. We won. It's that kind of thing. So I'm really looking forward to the Roval this year because it really, this round, as we were looking at the points and stuff, this round is a big round.
It's a big
round. And they're going to knock out somebody that would have had a chance of winning a championship.
I mean, for that to be a cutoff race, it is just so intense for these guys. And to know there are drivers, you know, AJ is the perfect example. Yeah. Everybody's talking about SVG. You got a guy like Chase Briscoe, who actually won the first ever race on the Roval in the Xfinity Series. I mean, you got a lot of sleepers in this event. And then you got a guy like Christopher Bell, like I mentioned, you know, a few years ago. He had to win the race just to move ahead, and he did it. That just doesn't happen every day.
That's funny you mentioned Briscoe, because that's the first time I really became aware of that guy.
Yeah, who Chase Briscoe was.
I mean, I'd heard of him, but he came out here and we said, well, how did you do that? He goes, I don't know. I've never done this before in my life. Coop, thanks for stopping by. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Hey, it's always great. Appreciate you guys. And CharlotteMotorSpeedway.com's got all the details. The best thing, too, is that it's affordable. You know, if you call us, 800-455-FANS, you can get tickets for starting at adults, $90 or less for the entire weekend.
Wow.
And kids, of course, only $10 for the whole weekend.
Buy those tickets. Keep Scott Cooper employed.
Please.
That's all you need to do. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Green Flag, Black Flag.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency. Plus, cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Appreciate Scott Cooper from Charlotte Motor Speedway and Speedway Motorsports dropping by. Longtime PR guy and wonderful human, and it's always nice when he takes time to come by the studio. Let's take time to do this right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All righty. Another show, another go at Green Flag, Black Flag. This is kind of the dessert segment, don't you think? This dessert.
We waited all the way to the end for our dessert.
All right. I read some carefully prepared statements. Our panel mulls them over. If they agree, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, black flag. It's that simple. Here we go. Going to start with Alexis Erickson on this. There will be no Chevys in the final four.
Green flag. Yep, I do believe that. I do think it's probably going to be two Penske Fords and probably two Gibbs Toyotas. So, yep, green flag.
Doug Rice.
What is the sign that they put up in Ted Lasso? It says believe.
Believe, yeah.
believe that. Yeah, green flag. No Chevys. I just, think Team Hendricks down a little bit this year, and I think it's going to be Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney and a couple of Toyotas.
Kyle Petty can make it unanimous.
I'm not going to make it unanimous. I'm going to say Black Flag. And the only reason I have to say Black Flag is because that's not the way I picked my Final Four.
I gotcha.
So I have to stay true because I picked the three B's, Blaney, Byron, and Bell. And then I threw Hamlin in for my Final Four. So that
gotcha.
Was it. So I got to stay with Blaney. So Byron is a Chevy, so I got to stay with Byron.
Okay, we go to Doug Rice on this one.
I'm ready.
2311 Racing will be eliminated after this round.
Green flag. Yep, they're done. Fork in.
Yes.
Go.
Yep.
Out.
Done.
Okay, go. Kyle?
Yep, yep. Yeah, I handed Doug my fork. Stick a fork in him.
Yeah, I think we can go ahead and say it's unanimous. And I, you know, people will say, oh, but they're going to Kansas this weekend and they've been really good at Kansas. But they really haven't been that great the past few times we've been there. Yeah. So
I don't think any of them have any ruby red slippers. It's not going to help.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Kyle Petty on this one. Here's a poser.
I'm the poser? Is that what you're saying? That's what you just said.
Oh, that's what he said.
Black flag. Black flag.
Stop it.
Okay. SVG will see a top 10 at an oval before the season's end.
No.
At an oval.
Black flag. Black flag. Black flag. He's not seen it by now. These guys have upped their game, and there's more than 10 of them. So, no. Black flag.
Alexis.
Black flag. Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I know that they've been working really hard on their oval program, but I think they're going to have to keep working really hard because they need a lot of work.
Doug yep. Rice.
I'm going to support the panel today. Black flag. It's just, wow. It's just not in the cards right now.
There's not much disagreement in the room here.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe one more bonus question.
Poser.
Go to Alexis.
He called me a poser.
Here's
man.
A poser. Back to desserts. Strawberry shortcake is seasonal and has already disappeared from my menu.
Well, I mean, strawberry season is a thing. So, yeah, I would say green flag to that. But you can get strawberries pretty much any time of year. I don't know. Strawberry shortcake is not usually on my menu. So.
Yeah, it's never been on my
menu. I don't care about that.
No.
No. Doug, no?
No, it is no. seasonal. If you can't have fresh strawberries,
yeah.
you don't want to eat that stuff.
You probably had it the 4th of July.
No, I only like my strawberries in Napoleon ice cream. That's called Neapolitan.
But I just call it Napoleon.
Napoleon. We always called it Napoleon when we were little. Yeah. Napoleon ice cream. You know, you get
would
the three
would you
strikes.
Eat one particular
yeah, you eat
flavor
the strawberry
of that?
Out of the milk. You
oh,
eat
really?
The strawberry. Just and you leave the chocolate on one side and the vanilla on the side. Just eat the strawberry.
I'm here for leaving the vanilla, but I can't leave the chocolate.
Yeah,
I'd
leave the chocolate. I'd go with the strawberry. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Doug Rice, you got it there.
One last thing comes up next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Grab a friend and pack the cooler. Saturday Night Racing returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway October 18th for the Z-Max Cars Tour Championship. See rising stars like Keelan Harvick compete against Short Track Racing's best in season finals for Pro Late Model, Late Model Stock, and the Smart Modified Tour. Party down North Wilkesboro style with the Z-Max Cars Tour Saturday, October 18th. For tickets, visit NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on the Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver.
and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's put a cap on this edition of Fast Talk. Thanks a lot to Scott Cooper for dropping by to talk about the Roval, which you'll hear here on the Performance Racing Network in less than a couple of weeks. Look forward to that. Now, let's do this.
One last thing.
Kyle Petty.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you were going to go to me first. So here, I'm gonna go off a little bit. So we focus on racing in this room every time we're sitting here. Focus on the points, focus on today, what's happening yesterday, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen here. In my life, and I will say this, with Humpy Wheeler passing, with Martha Jane Bunkemeyer, who was my dad's secretary for 40-some years, her husband just passed, I think sometimes we just need to take a breath and slow down in this fast-paced world that we live in,
right,
and remember to call people and tell people we think about them. Call people that we haven't seen in years and just say, hey, how you doing? And just touch base and ground ourselves in what's important. And it's not these cars riding around in circles always. It's not everything that we sit here and talk about on the radio and everything we talk about in racing, but it's friendship and life. And I enjoy and am proud to call you two guys friends.
Well, thank you,
and
Kyle.
And that's what I think today.
Thank you, Kyle. I think that is a great sentiment. You know, it reminded me of something that Doug usually says, and it's like, if you feel like you should do something, don't you know, have angst over it. If you feel like you should call your sister, yeah, or your friend who you haven't talked to in years, pick up the phone and call them.
Yep,
because
for
if
sure.
you feel like you should, then you definitely should. I think that that is great. I cannot believe that we are so close to the end of another NASCAR season. It is amazing to me how quickly these things go by. Performance Racing Network only has two races left. The Roval that we have talked about in great length on the show already, and then obviously the South Point 400 at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I cannot wait to see how the rest of this year pans out. I'm very excited for our final two races of the year, and I just, you know, would implore anybody who's listening to please join us for those. Join us listening on the radio or come to the racetrack and enjoy the race in person, because there's really no better way to do it than in person.
I will be sneaking out to Vegas as the friendly neighborhood PA announcer.
There we go.
I do want to touch on a couple of individuals, and it kind of ties into what Kyle was saying. A week ago at Bristol, Rob Albright, longtime turn announcer, 29 years at the radio network, made his last call for PRN. Rob is going to retire, and he's going to go work at a Christian youth camp with his children, and that's Rob's calling. So, Rob, it was so much fun working with you over the years. You're a true gentleman and a real pro. Mark Garrow, my longtime booth mate at PRN, announced publicly, I knew this was coming down, that this is his last year. So he's got two races, the two that you talked about, left. He's got the Roval and Las Vegas Motor Speedway to call to wrap up a very storied broadcast career. Mark's won every award there is to win. He has called some of the biggest races ever. He helped call your dad's 200th win at Daytona. And if you're around him long enough, he'll tell you that. But Mark, I can't say enough the pleasure it was working with you and how we finished each other's sentences. And the guy always showed up for every race we ever did, 100% prepared and ready to go. And Mark's delivered that for the fans and the listeners for a long time. And Mark, it was a real honor to be able to work with you. I hope you've had a good last year and get to call two terrific finishes here at the Roval and at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So go get them, Mark. You got two more shots left. Make them count. So for Alexis Erickson and Kyle Petty, I'm Doug Rice. As always, We are thrilled to have you here on Fast Talk. We'll be back next week and talk about what went down at Kansas, and we'll be looking ahead to the Roval. We'll be right back here next week. And you know what? We'll have a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.